Chapter 8. Suspended in her hands. Then she looked away again, and took a few more stitches. Then she looked again, and again turned to her task. At last she laid her work in her lap and stared concentratedly. She looked from the wall around the room, taking note of the various objects. She looked at the wall long and intently. Then she turned to her sisters. "What is that?" said she. "What?" asked Caroline harshly, her pen scratched loudly across the paper. Rebecca gave one of her convulsive gasps. "That strange shadow on the wall," replied Mrs. Bryan. Rebecca sat with her face hidden. Caroline dipped her pen in the inkstand. "Why don't you turn around and look?" asked Mrs. Bryan in a wondering, and somewhat aggrieved way. "I am in a hurry to finish this letter, if Mrs. Wilson Ebbett is going to get word in time to come to the funeral," replied Caroline shortly. Mrs. Bryan rose, her work slipping to the floor, and she began walking around the room, moving various articles of furniture, with her eyes on the shadow. Then suddenly she shrieked out, "Look at this awful shadow! What is it? Caroline, look, look! Rebecca, look! What is it?" All Mrs. Bryan's triumphant placidity was gone. Her handsome face was livid with horror. She stood stiffly pointing at the shadow. "Look," said she, pointing her finger at it. "Look, what is it?" Then Rebecca burst out in a wild wail after a shuddering glance at the wall. "Oh, Caroline, there it is again. There it is again." "Caroline Glynn, you look," said Mrs. Bryan. "Look, what is that dreadful shadow?" Caroline rose, turned, and stood confronting the wall. "How should I know?" she said. "It has been there every night since he died," cried Rebecca. "Every night?" "Yes. He died Thursday and this is Saturday. That makes 3 nights," said Caroline rigidly. She stood as if holding herself calm with a vise of concentrated will. "It looks like," stammered Mrs. Bryan in a tone of intense horror. "I know what it looks like well enough," said Caroline. "I've got eyes in my head." "It looks like Edward," burst out Rebecca in a sort of frenzy of fear. "Lie, yes, it does," assented Mrs. Bryan, whose horror-stricken tone matched her sister's. "Only oh, it is awful." "What is it, Caroline?" "I ask you again, how should I know?" replied Caroline. "See it there like you. How should I know any more than you?" "It must be something in the room," said Mrs. Bryan, staring wildly around. "We moved everything in the room the first night it came," said Rebecca. "It is not anything in the room." Caroline turned upon her with a sort of fury. "Of course it is something in the room," said she. "How you act! What do you mean by talking so? Of course it is something in the room." "Of course, it is," agreed Mrs. Bryan, looking at Caroline suspiciously. "Of course it must be. It is only a coincidence. It just happened so. Perhaps it is that fold of the window curtain that makes it. It must be something in the room." "It is not anything in the room," repeated Rebecca with obstinate horror. The door opened suddenly, and Henry Glynn entered. He began to speak, then his eyes followed the direction of the others. He stood stock still staring at the shadow on the wall. It was life-size and stretched across the white parallelogram of a door, half across the wall space on which the picture hung. "What is that?" he demanded in a strange voice. "It must be due to something in the room," Mrs. Bryan said faintly. "It is not due to anything in the room," said Rebecca again with the shrill insistency of terror. "How you act, Rebecca Glynn," said Caroline. Henry Glynn stood, and stared a moment longer. His face showed a gamut of emotions, horror, conviction, then furious incredulity. Suddenly he began hastening hither and thither about the room. He moved the furniture with fierce jerks, turning ever to see the effect upon the shadow on the wall. Not a line of its terrible outlines wavered. "It must be something in the room," he declared in a voice which seemed to snap like a lash. His face changed. The inmost secrecy of his nature seemed evident until one almost lost sight of his lineaments. Rebecca stood close to her sofa, regarding him with woeful, fascinated eyes. Mrs. Graham clutched Caroline's hand. They both stood in a corner out of his way. For a few moments he raged about the room like a caged wild animal. He moved every piece of furniture. When the moving of a piece did not affect the shadow, he flung it to the floor, his sisters watching. Then suddenly he desisted. He laughed and began straightening the furniture which he had flung down. "What an absurdity," he said easily. "Such a to-do about a shadow." "That's so," assented Mrs. Graham, in a scared voice which she tried to make natural. As she spoke, she lifted a chair near her. "I think you have broken the chair that Edward was so fond of," said Caroline. Terror and wrath were struggling for expression on her face. Her mouth was set, her eyes shrinking. Henry lifted the chair with a show of anxiety. "Just as good as ever," he said pleasantly. He laughed again, looking at his sisters. "Did I scare you?" he said. "Should think you might be used to me by this time. You know my way of wanting to leap to the bottom of a mystery, and that shadow does look queer, like, and I thought, if there was any way of accounting for it, I would like to without any delay." "You don't seem to have succeeded," remarked Caroline dryly, with a slight glance at the wall. Henry's eyes followed hers and he quivered perceptibly. "Oh, there is no accounting for shadows," he said, and he laughed again. "Man is a fool to try to account for shadows." Then the supper bell rang, and they all left the room, but Henry kept his back to the wall, as did, indeed, the others. Mrs. Graham pressed close to Caroline as she crossed the hall. "He looked like a demon," she breathed in her ear. Henry led the way with an alert motion like a boy. Rebecca brought up the rear. She could scarcely walk, her knees trembled so. "I can't sit in that room again this evening," she whispered to Caroline after supper. "Very well, we will sit in the south room," replied Caroline. "Think we will sit in the south parlor," she said aloud. "It isn't as damp as the study, and I have a cold." So they all sat in the south room with their sewing. Henry read the newspaper, his chair drawn close to the lamp on the table. About 9 o'clock he rose abruptly and crossed the hall to the study. The three sisters looked at one another. Mrs. Graham rose, folded her rustling skirts compactly around her, and began tiptoeing toward the door. "What are you going to do?" inquired Rebecca agitatedly. "I am going to see what he is about," replied Mrs. Graham cautiously. She pointed as she spoke to the study door across the hall. It was ajar. Henry had striven to pull it together behind him, but it had somehow swollen beyond the limit with curious speed. It was still ajar and a streak of light showed from top to bottom. The hall lamp was not lit. "You had better stay where you are," said Caroline with guarded sharpness. "I am going to see," repeated Mrs. Graham firmly. Then she folded her skirts so tightly that her bulk with its swelling curves was revealed in a black silk sheath, and she went with a slow toddle across the hall to the study door. She stood there, her eye at the crack. In the south room, Rebecca stopped sewing and sat watching with dilated eyes. Caroline sewed steadily. What Mrs. Graham, standing at the crack in the study door, saw was this. Henry Glynn, evidently reasoning that the source of the strange shadow must be between the table on which the lamp stood and the wall, was making systematic passes and thrusts all over and through the intervening space with an old sword which had belonged to his father. Not an inch was left unpierced. He seemed to have divided the space in two mathematical sections. He brandished the sword with a sort of cold fury and calculation. The blade gave out flashes of light, the shadow remained unmoved. Mrs. Graham, watching, felt herself cold with horror. Finally Henry ceased and stood with the sword in hand and raised, as if to strike, surveying the shadow on the wall threateningly. Mrs. Graham toddled back across the hall and shut the south room door behind her before she related what else he had seen. "He looked like a demon," she said again. "Ave, you got any of that old wine in the house, Caroline?" I don't feel as if I could stand much more. Indeed, she looked overcome. Her handsome, placid face was worn and strained and pale. Yes, there's plenty, said Caroline. You can have some when you go to bed. I think we had all better take some, said Mrs. Bryan. H, my God, Caroline, what, don't ask and don't speak, said Caroline. No, I am not going to, replied Mrs. Bryan. But Rebecca moaned aloud. What are you doing that for? Asked Caroline harshly. Poor Edward, returned Rebecca. That is all you have to groan for, said Caroline. Here is nothing else. I am going to bed, said Mrs. Bryan. Shan't be able to be at the funeral if I don't. Soon the three sisters went to their chambers, and the south parlor was deserted. Caroline called to Henry in the study to put out the light before he came upstairs. They had been gone about an hour when he came into the room bringing the lamp which had stood in the study. He set it on the table and waited a few minutes, pacing up and down. His face was terrible, his fair complexion showed livid, his blue eyes seemed dark blanks of awful reflections. Then he took the lamp up and returned to the library. He set the lamp on the center table, and the shadow sprang out on the wall. Again he studied the furniture, and moved it about, but deliberately, with none of his former frenzy. Nothing affected the shadow. Then he returned to the south room with the lamp and again waited. Again he returned to the study, and placed the lamp on the table, and the shadow sprang out upon the wall. It was midnight, before he went upstairs. Mrs. Bryan and the other sisters, who could not sleep, heard him. The next day was the funeral. That evening the family sat in the south room. Some relatives were with them. Nobody entered the study until Henry carried a lamp in there after the others had retired for the night. He saw again the shadow on the wall leap to an awful life before the light. The next morning at breakfast, Henry Glynn announced that he had to go to the city for 3 days. The sisters looked at him with surprise. He very seldom left home, and just now his practice had been neglected on account of Edward's death. He was a physician. How can you leave your patients now? Asked Mrs. Bryan wonderingly. I don't know how to, but there is no other way, replied Henry easily. Have had a telegram from Dr. Mitford. Consultation? Inquired Mrs. Bryan. I have business, replied Henry. Dr. Mitford was an old classmate of his who lived in a neighboring city, and who occasionally called upon him in the case of a consultation. After he had gone, Mrs. Bryan said to Caroline that after all Henry had not said that he was going to consult with Dr. Mitford, and she thought it very strange. Everything is very strange, said Rebecca with a shudder. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.